Bibles, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Glad you're out here on a Thanksgiving evening. I love to hear God moving and doing great things. Doesn't discourage me at all. Just hope we have a little persecution, little faithfulness, and you never know how God just might use us, right? Let's be faithful. We serve the same God. Love to hear it. Deuteronomy chapter 8. It'd be good if I turned there too, since I don't have that memorized. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's read this chapter. Let me give you a little background real quick. This is really a recipe. The title of the message is Never Forget. This is a recipe for us to be thankful. We have Thanksgiving, and I think you as believers are here on a Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. You want to be thankful. It's on our hearts. It's on our mind. It's a good thing. It's our best holy day. It's our best holiday in America. You know, Christmas, nobody, you know what I mean, just generally speaking, people don't associate Christmas with Jesus. A little bit they do, but not that much. It's gifts and everything else. Thanksgiving is, who are we thankful to? It's God. But what I want us to do, and I want it for my own heart, is how can we be thankful all year round? This is a great holiday for people that need to be reminded to be thankful. We shouldn't. God tells Israel the recipe for success coming out of the 40 years of wilderness. He tells them what they need to do. He reminds them of things. Let's read Deuteronomy chapter 8. Two columns of my Bible. We'll get with it, and then we'll finish the message. Deuteronomy 8, verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Verse 5. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee unto a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, oil olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, and that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, never forget, never forget. Just listen, if you will, 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Talking about the last days. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and it goes on. Just list a whole list of sins. But in the midst of those sins, in the last day, perilous times shall come, and one of the identifications of people is unthankfulness, ingratitude. There was an old preacher, he said, told an old story that was kind of obviously fictional. He said there was a man that ran into Satan's barns. And Satan had all these seeds that he was going to plant and sow in the hearts of men. And one of his main seeds was discouragement. He would plant discouragement and ingratitude and unthankfulness in the hearts of God's people and the hearts of people that weren't God's. And the man ran into the devil, and the devil finally confessed. He said, well, there's one thing that will get in the way of discouragement, and that's gratitude. Thankfulness. Romans chapter 1, the heart, I'm convinced of Romans chapter 1, of God giving them up, giving them over to their own desires, is unthankfulness. They were not thankful to God. This is the recipe. God had blessed them. He had taken them out of the wilderness. Let's just look at God's recipe here in Deuteronomy chapter 8. First thing I want you to see is keep God's commandments. You heard Brother Hatcher. He said that's so important. Just obey God. Just do what he says. You know, we make it more complicated than it should. Do what you know God would have you to do. You can't do what you don't know you're supposed to do. But here's what we don't do. We don't do what we're supposed to do. Just do what you know God said. Look at verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Look down at verse 6. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. We want to be thankful. Just obey the Lord. One day at a time. Can't change yesterday. Just obey. Keep God's commandments. Second thing I want you to see is trust God's process. It's a process that we probably wouldn't choose if you voted on it. Look at verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee. I'm just curious. It's okay. I think it would be good. Be honest. How many of you in the last 60 days you've prayed and said, oh God, humble me? It's good. It's good. I don't know if I have. I've got plenty of people that do that for me. But it is, oh God, humble me. You see, we can trust him. And God said this. He said, I brought you through the wilderness to humble thee. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. But see, God has a process. He humbled them. He has a process. We need to trust his process. He has a process, look this, to humble them and to prove them. He proves us. He tests us. God never tests us to sin, but he tries us so that we'll come out of the fire better. So when we have difficulty, when we have trouble, we usually don't respond to it well. You know, I give just the simple, if I drive out of the parking lot tonight and I get a flat tire, I am in a bad mood. Instantly. I don't think, well, praise the Lord, he's proving me. I don't think that. But I know this in life, that God, he says, he loves me. He says, all things will work together for good to those that love God, who are called according to his purpose. Doesn't necessarily mean right away. You see, I can trust him. See, I just need to know this. God promised he's going to bless me. I just need to obey, and he's going to humble me, and I need that. And you all would say, I'm resigning right now. No, it's the truth. It's the truth. You can pray, oh God, humble Pastor Steve. You know why? Because God will never do anything out of spite. You can't pray God to, you know, hurt me. We can ask the Lord for patience. I spent most of my life never asking God for patience because I knew how patience came, tribulation. And I thought, I don't want tribulation. Why am I praying for patience? You know, because I need it. So we need to humble us. God will prove us. He says this. Now look at this. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 2. He says, I brought you through these 40 years to humble ye, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. He works through hunger. He said, I made you be hungry. I wanted you to wonder, where's the next meal coming from? Where's the water coming from? He said, I want you to trust in me. And he, the famous verse that Jesus quoted from in the temptation of the wilderness, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, comes from here. He wants us to be hungry with physical food, so we'll be hungry spiritually. That's what we need. When God does that, it's important to us. One of the things that was dramatic for me just being in South Africa for 5 weeks was, and it helped me, and it may sound calloused, and I don't mean it to sound calloused. When you first go into just poverty-stricken areas, the first thing you want to do is take your shoes off and give it to some person that has your size shoe. Take your coat off and give it to them, and I think that's a good reaction. After you've been there a while, what you realize is they don't know that they are in abject poverty. And after a while, we still need to care for those things, but their greatest need is not shoes, is not coats, is not a roof on their head. They need Christ. And so I'm not saying we ignore those, but it better helps me when Jesus says, the poor you will have with you always. It wasn't cold and callous, not that we don't care, not that we don't help. But we need to make sure the greatest need that everyone has, us included, is spiritual. It's eternal. And so he works through hunger. It's a good thing. Let me tell you, it is, they would listen to me in South Africa. They have nothing. Now, they're expecting me to preach, you know, health, wealth, and prosperity. I will tell you this, I preach in a God that cares. I preach in a God that loves them. I preach in a God that will save them. I preach in a God that will help them understand why they're here. But boy, they're hungry. I mean, it was so easy. The greatest motivation to get, you know, because the students didn't have to come, the 80 students that I had for 30 straight nights, they didn't have to come every night. So what we would do is we'd have contests and stuff. The simple contest, if I had a candy bar like this, perfect attendance the next night. I forget, what are those candy bars called there? Lunch bars, yeah, the cheap ones, right? Because I didn't want to get the American ones because they're super expensive because of all the, you're importing them and all that stuff. So I was cheap. I was like, hey, what's the cheapest one? So, you know, we'd go and get lunch bars. That's what they are, right? They'd get them, you know, and if I even hinted that I was going to have lunch bars again, they'd be like, maybe. Just that little taffy, what's that taffy called? Fizzers, right? Bring a little taffy. They would come. They have nothing. But what they need is the Lord. You see, this chapter could apply to us in America. I don't know about Brazil, but in America, we've been given everything. You know what we've done as a nation? We've forgotten God. The problem with our country, though, isn't the country, it's Christians. We've forgotten. You'll see, we've gotten full. We've built our goodly houses. We've done all these things that he warned them not to do and then to forget him. And it's so easy for us to forget him. You see, this again is the recipe. It could be a chapter that we want to review, but it's incredible. Then he says this, bless the Lord for his goodness. What does it mean to bless the Lord? To praise, thank, honor God, you know, with just your thoughts, your actions, your heart. You know, that's what it means to bless the Lord. It's amazing to me that the Bible says you can bless the Lord. Bless the Lord for his goodness. Now let's look at this. Things last longer. Look at verse 4. He said, thy raiment wax not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. When it's talking about the foot swelling, because they had the same diet every day. I would have been part of the Israelites that would have complained with manna. Hey, Mom, what's for breakfast? Manna sausage. Would you like your manna scrambled or over easy? You know, and then we're going to have some manna toast and then some manna pudding. We got manna yogurt. You know, I mean, it's a manna, right? They ate the same thing every day for 40 years. You eat the same thing every day for 40 years, you'll be malnutrition. Not the Jews. And your feet will swell. You see malnutrition kids, see their belly swell. Their feet will swell too. He said, your feet didn't swell and your clothes lasted longer. You know, it's just, I'm just telling you, you bless the Lord, you do what he says, things will last longer. That doesn't mean that things aren't falling apart. We're in a sin-cursed world. Everything is the opposite of evolution. It's falling apart. That's the true laws of science. Things last longer, our health is better. That's what he said when I just told you this. He says, neither did your feet swell. I'm just telling you this, it's, you're going to die. and I'm going to die. And I feel pretty good tonight, but I will tell you, Brother Hatcher, how old are you? 70, man, you look good for 70. Do you ache like a 70-year-old? Only sometimes. I agree with that. I only ache like a 60-year-old only sometimes. But so it feels way better than I thought. Does it feel way better than you thought? It does. But you're going to fall apart, and you're going to die, and so am I. So what I'm not telling you that, but I will tell you this. You serve and honor the Lord, your health will be better than if you don't. And so what we need to do is be thankful for what we have, right? And understand this, that it's not saying everything will be perfect because I'm a sinner. This body is going to die. But you bless the Lord for his goodness, your health will be better. He chastens us. That's a good thing. Thank the Lord that he chastens you. The worst thing, you hear me say it all the time, the worst thing God could do is leave you to yourself. The worst thing God could do is leave you alone. The worst thing God could do is not correct you and allow you to continue to go down a path that will destroy you. A good parent will protect his children. A good parent will chasten his children. A good parent will do that, and that's what he says. We need to bless the Lord. It's so fun, right? My kids are here. It's great to see my daughter and Callum and the unnamed, ungendered baby coming April 28th. They're not going to find out until he is born. I don't know. I'm just making it up. But she's home, and so they're Callum's sick, and she's sick. But Elliot's upstairs, right? So Elliot, she did turn 4 in October, so I'm breaking the rules of our nursery. But she would have been so disappointed not to be able to play with the kitchen in our nursery and have to come hear Papa preach. She's excited about Papa preaching. She's like, Papa, you're going to preach. I'm deaf anymore, right? I'm like, what? What? She said, you're going to preach. I'm like, I couldn't understand it for anything. And I was like, she's excited about me preaching so she can go play with the kitchen. But, you know, it is... It's so difficult. Not necessarily for you, Joshua, but it's difficult for Rachel because she feels a lot of pressure coming in front of mom and dad. And then Callum, that kid's the most spoiled brat I've ever. No, I'm just kidding. And then Elia, you know, what you'd like to do is, Elia, do this. And Elia, thankfully, she doesn't know, you know, bad signals with fingers, because I think she might do it sometimes, right? Because sometimes she's like, ain't no way. And that's just our rebellion in us, right? And you know what? They correct her, and and because they love her. But don't feel pressure. I think you guys, 1 out of 10, it's a 6.5. No, you guys are doing a great job. They're doing a great job. It is more difficult when you're in front of your parents, isn't it? Because you're like, we're not judging you. We'll just talk about you every evening. But we're not. You're doing a great job. We love it. We love that you're correcting them. And it's really difficult sometimes because four-year-olds are in a constant mode of, I'm boss, right? Hang in there. She'll be thankful one day. Know this, when God corrects us, it's because he loves us. And the Bible says in Hebrews that it's grievous. It'll bring tears. And it hurts on purpose. So it'll bring the peaceable fruits of righteousness. See, we need to be thankful for it, thankful for God's correction, because so many of us, we know people that used to serve. We know people that used to seem to love the Lord, and where are they today? We're not better than them. I'll tell you this, we need to ask God, oh God, chasten me. Oh God, make sure I respond to that chastening, right? Because you've all seen it, you know. I mean, I had this too, you know. You can spank me outside, but on the inside, I'm not bending. Oh, ask God that we would bend. Bless the Lord for his goodness. He chastens us. He provides food abundantly. Did you see all the food? Did you see all that? I love this, right? Look at verse 7. He bringeth thee into the good land, land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey. And he goes on and on and on and on. You know, I want you to remember this. I want you to remember this. God wants you to love life, but not apart from him. He said, I made all these things for you. I want you to enjoy them. Enjoy these in abundance. but not apart from me. What'll happen real quick, and he mentions this, and we'll get there soon, is we end up thinking it was me. I worked harder than you. You know, that wouldn't happen to you if you did it my way. You know, I'm telling you, some of the most blessed people in the world have far less than us. Some of the most blessed people in the world have a greater difficulty than we do. We better be careful. We think we have it all figured out. Who's blessed? Remember, the apostles were shocked when Jesus told them it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than rich men to enter the kingdom of heaven, because they thought rich people were the blessed ones. I want you to understand, he does. But he wants us to enjoy life. Enjoy life. We ought to be a happy people. We ought to be a happy people. Keep God's commandments. Trust God's process. Bless the Lord for his goodness. And But beware. Don't forget. We forget not. Forget not when we are full. Look at verse 12. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein. He says this. We've built our houses. It's good to have a house. It's good to have a home. And you can always tell when a woman's in a home. You can tell when a woman's not. Joe, I learned quickly that you have a neat home, but you can tell a woman's not there, right? You have saved a bundle, my friend, let me tell you. Let me tell you. My house has gone through, I think, 6 redos, right? And we've new colors. And my wife will say, no, we've gotten this far. No, we haven't. No, it's only 5. I'm like, okay, I was off one, but I wouldn't trade it for the world. But it's good to have a house. Your house is fine. But it's don't make that your life. Don't make that your pursuit. You're going to give it away one day. Make God your pursuit. We forget him when we're full. Remember this, just for sake of time, I won't go into it, but that was one of the beginnings of the sin of Sodom. Satisfied, had no need of God. The only thing that they pursued was sin, because they were fooled. Oh, the end result was all of the lasciviousness and the sin that we see in Genesis 19. But it began with they were fooled. We built our own houses, silver and gold multiplied. See, God doesn't have a problem with you multiplying silver and gold as long as it's not apart from him. It's very rare that it ever happens. How many rich people in the Bible ever served the Lord? Not many. I think maybe Abraham, Solomon, 1,000 wives, kind of detoured that, right? And maybe you have Joseph of Arimathea. We could name a few others, right? Job was probably the most faithful, you know, Abraham right up there with him. But it's not rare. The Bible says that, you know, riches are, you know, destruction. Silver and gold, and they've forgotten our bondage. If we forget from what God saved us, the best thing ever happened to us, the best thing that ever will happen to us, is that Jesus Christ has saved us from our sins, and that Jesus is my Savior. There's just nothing better. Oh, I know that's a cliche and rhetoric, but is that really your heart? Is when you wake up, do you realize this? The best thing ever happened to you is that Jesus Christ saved you. That's why I love guys like Don Tiller. Because Don waited 60 years to know what it was like to be a saved man. And you know what I love? I love living vicariously through Don. I was saved when I was 8, and I praise the Lord for that. It kept me from a lot of sin. But you know what I want to have? I want to have the gratitude that Don has. He has the regret that says, oh, I wish. Just stay thankful, right? Just stay thankful. And I want to have your thankfulness in a 50-year-old Christian's body. Just be thankful. And I don't want to forget my bondage. Don't you let me forget my bondage. I want to tell you this. I was headed to hell, deservedly so, as an 8-year-old young boy. Without a doubt. The world wouldn't understand that. They would think, you know what? I've been brainwashed. Well, praise the Lord, it was with this. Wash your kids' brains with this. Right? If people accuse you of brainwashing them, say, amen. And what are you brainwashing your kids with? Right? And just say, I'm just going to teach the Bible. And so finally then, He just says this, remember two things. God has all the power, not you. Look at verse 17. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. See, we must remember. We must remember. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. God is the one. He's the giver of all things. He's the giver of all good things. If we remember, we'll be thankful. And then I just want to see in verse 20. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. God delights in obedience. You see, I'm going to tell you this. It's people could take verses 19 and 20, and I know he's dealing with them nationally, so there would be some judgment against them nationally. But I just want you to tell you this. I believe this. Just read verse 19 for me, and just this is the consequence of sin. And it shall be, if thou do it all, forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them and worship them, so you're going to pursue sin. I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. They're going to perish because of the consequences of their sin. We make God to be the ogre. I want you to know this. God says this, obey me, and I'll bless you. Disobey me, and you will deal with the consequences of your sin, because that's how sin works. You know, it's not too difficult. Just remember this. I want to be thankful 365 days of the year. I want to think on the things that will be positive and encouraging and just see the good things, right? I enjoyed tonight just looking out and just seeing faces that weren't here a year ago. Just knowing the stories. I had an awesome time tonight just in prayer time, just covering the people that many of you have sent us to pray for their names to be saved. It's just sweet. It's good. I love knowing the stories behind your pursuit of lost people. It's good. God's been good. I always have good things to think on. I want to do this. Remember, I'll just review it real quick. Keep God's commandments. Trust God's process. Bless the Lord. Don't forget. And remember, he has the power. I just don't want to be thankful for Thanksgiving week. I want to be thankful 52 weeks of the year, 365 days. It is good. God is good. Ask God. If you're discouraged, I'm convinced it's either because of sin or we're not thinking of all the things that God has done. Remember, sometimes he tries us. Hunger proves us, humbles us. That isn't him failing us. It's him putting us where we need to be to honor him. Let's pray.